The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
The text I want to read for this morning is found in Romans chapter 4. That's Romans chapter 4. Listen as I read my text. Romans chapter 4, verses 18 through 25. This is speaking of Abraham. Paul's writing here of Abraham. And he says in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now, I will state the truth taught here straight up. Let me just get right to it. Faith is believing with full persuasion that God has the ability to do, and thus God will actually do, exactly what God has promised, exactly what God has said he will do. Read it again. Listen to it. And, verse 21, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Let me read that again. And being, this is what faith is, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. This is the kind of faith that was in Abraham. And I say that for a reason. Now listen to me. Hear me this morning. Keep with me this morning. This is the kind of faith that was in Abraham. This is the kind of faith by which righteousness was imputed to Abraham. Thus we read in verse 22 of my text, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. What? This kind of faith, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And one of the things, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. So this is the kind of faith that was in Abraham, and this is the kind of faith by which righteousness was imputed to Abraham. This kind and this kind only. But not only that, this is the kind of faith by which righteousness is imputed to men today. For Paul went on to say, now, it was not written for his sake alone. That is, it wasn't written just for Abraham's sake that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Now notice, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Pseudo-Christianity today is always just telling people, just believe on Jesus, believe on Jesus, believe on Jesus. We'll look at that in a moment. Believe on Jesus. Yet they rarely ever, if ever, speak of believing on him who raised up Jesus from the dead. Why? Because God promised certain things through raising Jesus Christ from the dead. God promised certain things through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see, this is the kind of faith that Abraham had. This is the kind of faith by which righteousness was imputed to Abraham. And this is the kind of faith by which righteousness is imputed to men today. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again. Do you see it? For our justification. That word for, you could say on account of. He was delivered on account of our offenses. You see, God Almighty made Jesus Christ to be sin for a people. The one who knew no sin, that he knew no sin, that that people might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we see that, again, this is the kind, hear my words, hear what I say, this is the kind of faith that was in Abraham. And this is the kind of faith by which righteousness was imputed to Abraham. And this is the kind of faith by which righteousness is imputed to men and women today. It is this kind of faith. You hear what I say? It is this kind of faith, and this kind only. And this kind only. Why do I emphasize that? Here's five reasons why I emphasize this kind of faith and this kind only. The first reason, James, in his epistle, James warns of dead faith. Faith without works is dead, he says. There is a dead faith. James warns of dead faith. What is this dead faith? It's inactive faith. It's a faith of lip service, which produces no obedient action. Now, listen to what James says in James chapter 2, verse 14. And what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto him, depart ye in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things that are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show ye thy my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God? You do well. Do you see that? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. So see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, here is his conclusion, and listen to it. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And what kind of works is he talking about? He's not talking about singing in the choir. He's not talking about teaching a Sunday school class. These things are not even mentioned in the scripture. This works here is obedience. Obedient action. An obedient action that issues forth from a true and a living faith. So James warns about dead faith, inactive faith. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11 sometime. By faith, Abel, what? Acted. By faith, Noah, what? Acted. By faith, Moses, what? Acted. By faith, Abraham, what? Acted. True and living faith has true and living action with it. So where there is dead faith, there is no imputed righteousness. That's the point. Where there is dead faith only, where there is that kind of faith, there is no imputed righteousness. But where there is living, active, obedient faith, there is imputed righteousness. But secondly, the Lord Jesus Christ himself warned of those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. You want to see that account. Go back sometime and read it. Luke chapter 18, mainly verses 9 through 14. There is no justification there, not in trusting in yourself. Countless thousands in our day trust in themselves. They trust in themselves that they're righteous. They despise others. They trust in themselves that they've made the right decision. They trust in themselves that they've walked some aisle and went to some man-made, man-ordained, godless altar and gave their heart to Jesus. No such thing is ever taught in the Scripture. You come to a man-made altar, you're coming to an idol, you're coming to an image, you're coming to that which man has erected. There is no justification there when you trust in yourself. Christ warned of it. He said that remember that Pharisee, he talks about the Pharisee and the publican. The publican went down to his house justified. Why? Because he cried out for propitiation. He said, Lord, propitiate me, the sinner. He knew he was a sinner. He was corrupt before God, wouldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven, but smote upon his breast and said, oh God, be merciful to me, the sinner. The Pharisee sat around and bragged about who he was and what he had done. And Jesus Christ said that publican went down to his house justified rather than the other. But also, thirdly, the Apostle John records a believing with no knowledge of the truth. I want to read that for you. Let me turn to John. We find that account in John chapter 8. And this is John giving an account of one of the messages of our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's in John chapter 8. And remember what I said. John records a believing that has no knowledge of the truth associated with it. Listen to it. John chapter 8, and I'll begin in verse 30. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. As he spake these words. Now think about this. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. You see the whole implication here. The whole indication here is believing itself, just that kind of believing, may not be enough. He says, and ye, that is those who continue his word, and are his disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now listen to what he goes on to say. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed. Now, I want you to listen to these words. Christ said, I know that you're Abraham's seed. He's talking to those that believed in him as he spake. Remember? I know that you're Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that. You see it? I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. Do you hear it? But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus saith unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father the devil. Think, these are the words of Jesus Christ to this group of people. This group of people that John even says they believed on him as he spake. Ye're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do.
He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. You see, they believed on him. You see, they believed on him. As he spake these words, many believed on him, but they did not believe him. Do you see the difference? Oh, may God burn within your heart and your mind and soul that difference. So John records a believing, but a believing that is dissociated from the truth. There is hatred for the truth of Christ, even while believing on him. And I say unto you, with all the sincerity I have, that this is the majority of Christianity, professed Christianity today. They believe on him, but they do not believe his words. They want him to be their savior from hell, but they do not want to bow to him as Lord and God and sovereign over all. They do not want his truth. They do not want his word. So there is hatred for the truth of Christ, even while believing on Christ. There is no imputed righteousness. There is no justification in that kind of faith. Here's number four. Christ warned of temporary faith. A temporary faith. Go back and read it sometimes. In our Lord's message on the parable of the seed and the sower. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 13, our Lord warned of a temporary faith, a faith which reels into apostasy. It runs headlong into apostasy when it's brought under temptation. And it's offended by the word, by the word. Oh, how religious men and women, even men and women who profess to be Christians, are offended at the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ warned of a temporary faith, a faith which will even reel into apostasy. It will fall away under temptation. And listen to me, there is no imputed righteousness there. But also, here's the fifth thing. According to the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, verses 23 and 24, there is faith in false Christ. That's right. There is such a thing as faith in false Christ, and there is no imputed righteousness there. According to the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4, there's faith in another Jesus, and another Jesus doesn't save. Another Jesus cannot save. This so-called Jesus of today that made it possible for everyone to be saved if they will believe, that's not what faith is. Faith is believing that what God has promised, God is able to perform. And what did God promise? According to Paul writing to Titus, God promised, before the world began, God promised eternal life. Therefore, eternal life is for a people. Eternal life was wrought by Jesus Christ at Calvary. So there is faith in false Christ. There is faith in another Jesus. And neither one of these brings with it imputed righteousness. There's also, according to the Apostle Paul, Galatians chapter 1, and mainly verses 6 through 9, there is faith in a perverted gospel. Do you hear what he said? Paul called it a perverted gospel. There are those who pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no hope before God in such as this. No matter what your belief is, no matter what your faith is, no matter what your trust is, if it's that kind of faith, if it's that kind of belief, if it's that kind of trust, there is no imputed righteousness. It is only in the kind of faith that Paul speaks about in our text in Romans chapter 4, that kind of faith, staggering not at the promise of God through unbelief, but being strong in faith. And in being strong in faith, you do what? You give glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God has promised, God is able to perform, and therefore it's imputed to those people for righteousness. You see, the hope associated with the faith of Abraham is particular. It's a certain kind of faith. It's a God-given faith. As a matter of fact, Paul says that kind of faith in Galatians chapter 5, this kind of faith, the kind of faith that the scripture speaks of in glorious terms, in terms associated with imputed righteousness, in terms associated with blessing, in terms of associated staggering not at the promise of God through unbelief. You see, that kind of faith, Paul says in Galatians 5, is the fruit of the Spirit. That kind of faith, the kind of faith Abraham had, is not something you work up or you work down. That kind of faith is a free, sovereign gift of God. And it is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of human will, not the fruit of human ability, not the fruit of human action. It is the fruit of the Spirit. So, see the hope again associated. Who against hope believed in hope. Why? This man was past the age of producing seed. His wife was past the age of conceiving a child. Yet God said, at a set time, I will come, and Sarah shall have a son. So it says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall. Do you hear it? God gives his shall. So shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he wasn't about 100 years old. Neither did he consider the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform. Therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for all us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. And what are we to believe? Who was raised, who was delivered for our offenses, and was raised for our justification. Now, not only that, but there's another truth here. And I'll spend my remaining time on this. Listen to me. Faith in a person, that is the faith that is in an individual, faith in a person, even the kind that Abraham had, that faith adds nothing to God, or it adds nothing to the work of Jesus Christ. No one can believe God so as to cause God to justify them. No one can believe God and make what Christ did at Calvary justify them. That's the lie of so-called modern day Christianity. That God did all he could do. Jesus did all he could do. Now it's up to you. And you either have faith, or you have faith and repentance, or you have faith and repentance and baptism. These things do not come to make what God did of value. We are to believe that what Jesus Christ accomplished on that tree is a set, assured reality before God. So again, I say, no one can believe God so as to cause God to justify them. Or no one can believe God and make what Christ did at Calvary justify them. Faith does not believe so Christ can deliver us from offenses and thus justify us. Faith believes that Christ has delivered us from our offenses, and therefore he has justified us in his blood. Faith believes Christ, you see it, who was delivered for our offenses, that is, on account of our offenses, and was raised again for or on account of our justification. Two things here in ending. Listen to me. God says, according to God Almighty, in Hebrews chapter 1, listen to what God said through the Apostle Paul concerning sins. Hebrews chapter 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So here's the point. When did he purge our sins? He purged our sins before he even sat down in glory at the right hand of God the Father. Do you see it? So now I will say unto you, faith is believing that what God had promised in Christ, he did perform in Christ. Sins were purged by Christ at Calvary. Do you believe that? I'm not asking you to, will you believe so that your sins can be purged? I'm crying out unto you, can you? Do you? Are you able to believe that Jesus Christ did purge sins when he died on that tree? According to God, God says the people are justified. Romans chapter 8. They are justified. Those that he predestinated, them he also called. Those that he called, them he also, what? Justifies. And those that he justifies, them he also glorifies. So we see that faith is not something we add to God. Faith is not something we add to the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith is believing. That is this God-given faith. This faith that is a fruit of the Spirit. This faith believes the record that God gave of his Son. And the record is that we have life in his Son. God promised eternal life before the world began. And God Almighty gives eternal life based upon and through the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So again, listen to me. Faith in a person, even the kind that Abraham had, that faith adds nothing to God, nor does it add to the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That faith which God Almighty gives bows an individual. It bows a person in willing, conscientious subjection to Jesus Christ. And it cries out, if my sins are purged, they were purged by Christ when he died on that tree. If I am to be justified before God, I had to have been justified before God by his blood when he died on that tree, being justified freely by his grace. How? Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Jesus Christ redeemed a people to God by his blood. It's a done deal. It's a done work. He said, it is finished, when he died on that tree. Just before he said, it is finished, he bowed his head and he gave up the ghost. Here's the thing. Do you believe him? Do you believe that it is finished? Do you believe he wrought the work? Do you believe he satisfied God? Do you believe that all justice has been satisfied in him? That's the question. Is that the kind of faith that you have?
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.